introduce him tonight. Brother Tom's always been a blessing here. I think, you know, one of the things you could say about Brother Tom being a church kid is he found the Lord on his own, you know, and, you know, obviously he had great examples in his dad and folks in the church. But, you know, young people, if you're here and you're a church kid, you need to get to a point in your life where you walk with God on your own without the crutch and support of your parents, because the day's going to come where you got to stand for God on your own. And that's what Brother Tom has done. We're excited about him being the youth pastor here and working with the young people here. And I just told him, I said, you know, last time he preached, he ran off this straight up. I said, if you're going to do that, at least get it to the first pew. I don't know if he's going to do that. Always great to hear Brother Tom preach. We're also excited about the youth conference coming up. If you have, you know, friends that you go to, you know in the neighborhood, invite them out. Kenny Baldwin will preach up a storm. And they will get the gospel, and that's what it's all about, getting gospel to people. So we look forward to hearing Brother Tom preach to us. Brother Tom.
Brother William asked if I was going to let out by 10 or 10:30. I said, I don't know. You know, we'll see how it goes. Just kidding about that. Luke chapter 10 in your Bibles, if you would. Luke chapter number 10. Brother Chad called me last night. I was visiting my grandma. He and Becky and Mom and all. And we were visiting her, and he called me. I guess we were supposed to preach, but they needed to do more work on the roof, so he asked if I could preach for him. I said, yeah, man, let's try it out. So we'll see how it goes, man. Luke chapter 10. I don't think I'm going to try to jump from here to the first bench. I might break my legs. But Brother William said I would be preaching from the ground. No, I probably would be. Come after me. You stay back there. I'm fine, all right? Luke chapter 10, if you stand with me for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read a larger portion of Scripture tonight, so I'm going to be standing for a little bit, all right? Luke chapter number 10, and the Bible says in verse 1, after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking, such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, and into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things that they set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which had been done in Tyre and Sidon, for if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you, heareth me. He that despises you, despises me. He that despises me, despises him that sent me. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this night. I thank you for this opportunity to preach, Lord. God, I thank you for my church. I thank you, Brother William, Brother Chad, Brother Bob, the different leaders in this church. Lord, I thank you for them. I thank you that I get to be a part of this church. And Lord, to have the privilege to serve and be the youth pastor, Lord, it's a dream come true. And I'm thankful for it, God. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless this night, Lord, that you would use it. God, that you would encourage some people that are down. And God, you know, there's no way that I can know all the needs in this room. But you know each and every one of them. Not only do you know them, Lord, but you can do something about them. And God, I pray you would do that for us tonight. God, I pray you would get me out of the way. I pray you would forgive me my sins. Fill me your spirit, Lord. Just empty me of myself. Get me out of the way, Lord. I don't want to interfere with what your Holy Spirit wants to do tonight. God, I pray you would do the work. And I pray that the people would listen to your word, Lord. And take it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. And God, I pray that it would do something in us, that it would effectually work in us that believe, Lord. And I pray you would do that for us tonight, and that we would walk out better Christians, Lord. And we always talk about that, but we want to accomplish that tonight, Lord. I pray you would help us with that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. In this chapter here, throughout the whole book of Luke, we see the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry. And the book of Luke has more details and usually more chronologically ordered than the other books. Luke is a doctor. He's into detail and including different details about the Lord Jesus' life and ministry. And when we get here to chapter 10, Jesus identifies a great need, a great problem. If you look with me in verse 2 of chapter 10, he says, "Therefore said he unto them, unto his disciples, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. And he says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." So Jesus identifies this great need. It's a little bit of what we talked about last time when I was preaching. But Jesus in this passage doesn't just identify the need, he does something about it. In verse 1 it says, "After these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face." Basically what he's sending out soul winners here. He's sending people ahead of him. It says later on in that verse that he would come after them at an appointed time. Jesus is sending them out two by two to these different cities, and he wants them to preach the gospel of the kingdom. He wants them to tell these people that Jesus is here, the kingdom is here, believe on him. And that's what their job is. He wants to fill that need. But he tells them that it's not going to be easy. Tells them it's not going to be a walk in the park. He tells them it's not going to be a piece of cake. If you look with me at verse 3, he says, "Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." Great. Thanks, Lord. "I send you forth as lambs among wolves." Not too cool. And he tells them, he states throughout the passage that we read here, that people, many people in many different cases in this chapter and in this story, in these events of the Word of God, we're going to reject the message. It says they're going to reject it. He goes down in verse 10 and 11, talks about that. If they reject you, wipe your feet off. Keep going. Later on in verse 16, he says, if they reject you, they're rejecting me. And you know, I was thinking about it. I read this yesterday, had no clue, Brother Shad, just reading from my devotion. I'm writing down stuff. That's pretty good. Brother Shad called me in. "Can you preach?" He said, "Sure." And I had no clue what to preach. And I said, And I was thinking about another message, and I thought about this, and I said, "Man, I think this would help some people." I prayed about it, and I think this is what the Lord wants me to speak on tonight. So we'll find out, amen. But he gave them on instructions. He says, "Fellas, it's not going to be easy. I'm sending you forth as lambs among wolves, okay? It's not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult. Some people aren't going to like you. Some people are going to talk about you. They're going to make fun of you." He says, "They're going to mock you. They're not going to hear my words." But I'm so glad that in this chapter here, he gives them instructions on how to keep going. I'm so glad about that. Hey, we too have been called and commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We too have been commissioned to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. I was preaching at Chesapeake a couple weeks ago. Just a side note. But, you know, a lot of people think, well, what is the church all about? What is the church all about? That passage in Matthew 28 tells us what it's all about. I'll tell you what the church is all about. Church is about getting people to believe in Christ, number one. Secondly, to baptize those converts. Thirdly, to get them to behave according to his commandments. That's it. Pretty simple. And a lot of times we do the first job, we don't do the second and third, though. We need to work on that. I do it myself. We need to get these things. And you know, he's commissioned us to do that. It's not the world's job. It's not the government's job. It's not the entertainment's job. It's our job to do something about it. He says in Acts, "I'll give you power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the othermost part of the world, the othermost part of the earth." He says, "I'm going to do this," and he's commissioned us to do this. But you know what? We too are going to be rejected time after time. Time after time. And I'll be honest with you, it's not pleasant. I don't enjoy it. I don't go out there and say, "Man, I hope I get rejected today. Does something for me, you know? Lights me up inside." I don't like it. I don't like when getting cussed out by people. I don't enjoy it. "Wow, that guy, man, rolled it all together, Jeff. It sounded good." No. I don't enjoy it. I don't like it. Had the rhyme going back and forth tight. You know, he had it. Man, that's some skill right there. No, I don't like it. I don't like getting, you know, door slamming in my face. I don't enjoy that. "Well, that was a nice breeze." No, I don't like it. I don't like it. It's not pleasant. It's not pleasant to be isolated, to be alienated.
It's not pleasant to be mocked. It's not pleasant to be made fun of. I don't like it. But I'm so glad, just as he gave these disciples instructions on how to deal with rejection, he gives us the same thing. Hey, you know what? I'm sad to say, but there's times in my life where, Brother Chuck, I've let rejection kind of take away my aggressiveness. I think we all have to some extent. I think we all have, if we'd be honest. But you know the worst thing? Not just take away your aggressiveness, not just take away that fire, that zeal, that intensity that you should have when you're soul winning. But you know, I think it stops some people, maybe some people in this room, from even going. Ah, man, I can't. What if people say, what if they get mad at me? What if they start yelling at me? And because of that, you've decided in your mind, I'm just not going to do it. It's too much effort, too much work. That's a sad decision you've made in your life. Listen to me. Yeah, it's not fun to be made fun of. Yeah, it's not fun for get the door slammed in your face and people get mad at you and run you off their plate. I'm going to call the police on you. We've had that. It's not fun. It's not fun. Get your car towed away. Me and Willie went running down 410 a couple years ago trying to chase my car down. Wait, that's mine! Wait! You know? Good night. It's not fun, though. Guy had my car for probably three, four minutes. $175. Yeah, sure, buddy. Sure, it costs that much to get it back. Whatever. Got to pay it, though. That's the way it is. They're crooks everywhere, so you got to do it. Got to do it. Jesus gives them advice on how to deal with this. And he gives us advice on how to deal with it. Hey, why would we continue on? You know, people get mad at you. People run you off. People cuss at you. People doing all this stuff. Why keep going? Jesus gives you some reasons right here. Hey, Christian in here tonight, if you've lost your aggressiveness, if you've lost that intensity, that zeal, that fire for going after souls because you're afraid of being rejected, listen up tonight. Christian, if you're not even going at all because you're scared that you might be rejected, listen up tonight. It's no excuse. It's no excuse. Why continue on? Number one, I'd like you to notice in this chapter that the possible result is joyous. Possible result is joyous. Verse 3. Actually, let's read verse 3 first. Verse 3, it says, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. The possible result is joyous. Jim made a statement when he was preaching Sunday. I was in here Sunday morning and Sunday night. I think he made the same statement. He said, you know, anytime you invest in a person's life, there's a possibility of loss. I think you made it morning and night, if I remember correctly. And you know, that's true. But I wrote down in my notes while he was saying that, yes, every time you invest in somebody's life, every time you give your time, effort, these different things, there is a possibility of loss. But I'm so glad that there's a possibility of gain, too. You know what? We need to keep our mind focused on that. Yeah, it hurts when people turn off. Yeah, it hurts when stuff happens. Yeah, it hurts when they get divorced. Or it hurts when a guy turns out of church and goes smoking drugs and drink. That hurts. That bothers me. But you know, I like to think about the other side. I like thinking about the other side. Yes, it's. I think it is worth the risk. It's definitely worth the risk. You know, Jim made that statement, but he's taking a risk by going back to Australia and doing it over again and doing it over again and doing it over again. Listen to me. There's a possibility of loss, but thank God there's a possibility of gain. I'm so happy about that. It's worth the risk. Let me tell you, it's worth the risk. Let people come your way. Yeah, Jesus is saying, yeah, it's going to be tough. But it's worth it. You know why? Even though it's going to be tough, even though it's going to be hard, even though it's going to be difficult, why I'm still sending you? Because it's worth it. Because there's a possibility of gain somewhere. The possible result is joyous. That's what he's saying. It far outweighs the risk of loss. Listen to me. He's saying it's going to be a hostile environment. He's saying it's going to be hostile. He's saying in some places they're going to hate you. That's what he's saying in verse 3. He's saying in some places they won't hear what you have to say. But he says, I still want you to go because the reward is greater than the risk. Think about it. Say, what are you talking about, Tom? Here's what I'm talking about. If one person, just one person, listens to what you have to say, if they receive the word of God, if they receive the gospel, think about what happens in their life. Just one person. What's the big deal? I'll tell you what the big deal is. Number one, they get their eternal destiny changed. I'm talking about a person that was on their way to hell, somebody that was like a freight train running
running full steam with the bridge out. They were on their way to destruction. Nothing could be done. Not good works, not baptism, not telling some guy with a black collar with a white little check in the middle about my sins. None of that stuff would ever do anything about that person's problem. But I'm so glad when they were on that way, when there was nothing that could be done, no amount of money given to the church, no amount of money given to the poor, none of these things could do it. I'm so glad that Jesus could do something about it. Think about that when we go out there, when you show up tomorrow, and by the way, you should show up tomorrow, when you come out here, when we talk to these people, think about, hey, yeah, it's tough, yeah, it's hard, but if one person reads this tract, if one person listens to me, if one person, their eternal destiny will totally, completely, wholly change. Praise the Lord. We don't, you know the problem? We don't understand what a miracle took place when we got saved. I heard somebody say, you know, the Christians that are the best soul winners are the Christians with the best memory. You know why? Because we need to think back about what we used to be and where we used to be and how we used to be and all these different things. Listen to me. There was nobody in this room that deserved to go to heaven. There is nobody. I thank God that Jesus showed up in my life. Brother Williams talking about, you know, he learned it for himself. I would be stupid not to learn it for myself. I had a dad that I saw God real on him day after day after day after day after day. How much more clear does it have to get? You know, Solomon talks about the God of my fathers. That's me, the God of my father. Hey, a God that proved himself day after day after day after day for 30-some years. Bless God, that's a pretty good God. I want to get to talk to him. I want to get to know him a little bit. I want his power on my life. That's a pretty good God. That's who we need to introduce people to. The result can be joyous. He says, listen, even though it's hostile, even though people will hate you, even though people won't hear what you have to say, you still go. Because if one person listens, their eternal destiny will change. Like that. He can listen to me. We don't think about it a lot. He can take a druggie, make him a Christian, totally change his life around. He can take a rapper, change him. He did. Yes, sir. I thank God he did. Listen to me. He can take a church brat and change him and do something with him for his glory. Thank God. Yes. I'm glad about that. Listen to me. But not only can he change their eternal destiny, he can change their earthly days. God can not only change a person from hell to heaven, but God can do something while they're here on earth. Listen to me. He can give them a purpose. Maybe you're sitting in here tonight thinking, what if life is so confusing? Nothing makes sense. Why am I here? What purpose? What reason is there for anything going on? Listen to me. You haven't found your purpose because you haven't found him. When you find him, you find why you're here, you find where you're going, you find what you need to be doing. Get in on him and you'll find out where you need to be going. You'll find out why you're here. You'll find out your purpose for life to glorify him. Yes, sir. Change the earthly days. Their purpose. Listen to me. God can give them a book that has every answer to every question you have or you ever will have. This right here. Listen, I don't want to hear it from Bible college. I don't want to hear it from professors. I don't want to hear it from people. Well, there are certain areas and issues where the Bible doesn't speak of. Yeah, whatever. Because you haven't read it. There's some areas and some places where you haven't inspected. Okay? I don't want to hear that. Listen, you get into it, you think about it, you meditate on it, you say, God, give me the answer. Every single time you give God a little time, God will give you the answer. Where? From TVN? No. Where? From Brother Joel? They'll give you an answer, probably the wrong one, okay? Now, he doesn't have a pulpit. You got to walk in front. Have my mullet on, all right? Now, I know out there that you're struggling. I know that you're hurt inside. Let me tell you, Jesus loves you today. I don't care if you're a queer, he loves you. I don't care if you're a drug addict, he loves you. Hey, you know, he gives you the stuff and he does love you, but he has some stuff to say against you too. Brother Joel seems to leave that stuff out. I don't know what his problem is. Listen, God didn't have to give me the answer from him or from that channel or wherever else. You know where he gives you the answer from? This book. Every single time. Listen, God can take some We've seen people about to commit suicide, about to call it quits because they couldn't take it anymore. God takes a person like that and gives them joy. What else can do that? Not a pill, not some psychiatrist. Nothing can except him. Listen, let's not forget that the result can be joyous. Jesus is saying to his disciples, fellas, it's not going to be easy. There's some people that are going to hate your guts. There's some they're going to be hostile against you. There's some people, they won't hear what you have to say. But if somebody does, I can change that person. I can change his eternal destiny. Rip-roo. Going to heaven now. Complete turnaround, 180. That's what God can do. That's what God can do in a person's life. Not only that, but I can change their early days. Man, I thank God for that. I thank God that, you know, we see, I wish we need to see it more, but I like when I get to see a teenage guy. He's heading for big time trouble. He finally gets interested and starts taking heed to this word of God, and something happens in him. Now he's helping straighten other people out. What happened? Lord happened. He can give them peace. Listen, everything the world is looking for, God has. Love, joy, peace. How many songs you heard about those three in your lifetime? It's a lot, right? Yeah, I know, because y'all jamming. <I'm just kidding. laughs> Listen to me, though. That's what the world wants, right? God has it all. And more. Long-suffering, dealing with goodness, faith. All the rest of those. No, huh? Meekness, faith, goodness, temperance, all those other things. Against such, there is no law. God has it all. Hey, God says, fellas, you want to deal with rejection? You know why you should continue on? Because the possible result is joyous. Man, praise the Lord. You know, secondly, though, he says, continue on because they'll regret it at the judgment. Listen to me. Let that atheist cuss you out now. There's going to be a day he wishes he had that opportunity back. Absolutely. Look at me if you would at verse 10. Again, Jesus is going through here and he says, fellas, they're going to reject you. Some people are going to reject you, but here's what you do. You know that the possible result can be joyous. You see that one day they're going to reject. They're going to regret it at the judgment. Verse 10. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not. These people turn you down. These people blow you off. Go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of the city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Wow. Wow. Listen to me. Let them turn you down now. I think about this sometimes. I guarantee you, this thought is going through my mind. Huh. When somebody turns you down, what do you think? Not worth it. Right? Let's be honest. Not worth it. It's too hard. Nobody listens to this stuff. Or they just do it to be nice. You know? I'll take it. Listen to me. What we're doing is not in vain. Listen, let's not be weary. Let's not get bored. Let's not get tired of what we're doing. Let's keep going and keep pushing. Pressing on. We don't know when the day's approaching. We don't know when the Lord's coming back. This could be the last chance we get. Let's go at it with all we got. Let's not slack off. Let's not lay back. Let's give it all we got. Listen to me. They'll regret it at the judgment. They'll regret that you gave them a chance and they didn't take it. They'll regret that you gave them a choice and they didn't take it. Listen, one day the charges are going to be levied against them at God's judgment, great white throne judgment if they don't get saved. And there's going to be plenty of evidence to convict them. You know what? Put forth the effort. I'm not making light of people going to hell. I don't want anybody to go to hell. But you know what? We need to put forth so much effort that if they do reject the Lord, there is a pile of evidence stacked up against them saying, you see that gasoline that Brother Chad put in his car? He didn't have to do that. You see that dust on his feet that he wiped off? That testifies against you. That gasoline testifies against you. Listen, that stress and that time and that effort, that sweat that he put in, that testifies against you. Listen, don't let your friends and family and people that you care about go to hell without stacking up some stuff against them. They better climb over that dirt and climb over that gasoline and climb over that embarrassment and climb over that stuff that you put in their way. You say, I tried. I gave you a choice. I gave you a chance. I put it all out there. That's what he's saying. He's saying, if they reject you guys, wipe the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Jesus is not saying, make sure you have clean feet. That's not what he's saying. What Jesus is saying is, you show that you put forth the effort, because one day when that sinner stands before God and he said, Jesus, I didn't have a chance. Jesus is going to call the angel up and say, Exhibit A. And he's going to bring a little baggie out with a little dust in there on your feet. That's what Jesus is saying. Listen to me. We need to put every obstacle, every effort, everything we can into getting people saved. They turn it down. Listen to me. One day they're going to regret it at the judgment. They'll regret it at the judgment. You have your chance. But after day, the judgment day is talking about for Sodom, then for that city. Continue on to verse 13. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. You know what Jesus is saying? He calls out Chorazin, he calls out Bethsaida, and in verse 15 he calls out Capernaum. That's where he did his most mighty works. He did miracles, he did all these great things there. And they wouldn't repent, they didn't care, they just blew it off. You know what Jesus says? He says at the judgment day, it's going to be easier for Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah? Yeah. Tyre and Sidon, talking about where Jezebel's from in the Old Testament. Bad places. You know why it's going to be easier for them? Because they didn't have the chance that you had. My goodness gracious. Listen, this is talking about unsaved people. Well, we can apply it to Christian people too. Not trying to scare anybody, but listen to me. If you're not saved in here, you've been coming to this church your whole life, it's not going to be easy for these people at the judgment day. Listen to me. If Sodom and Gomorrah would have seen those miracles that Jesus did in their town, what does it say? They would have a long while ago repented. And not just repented. It says sitting in sackcloth and ashes. That means they really got serious about this thing. They wanted everybody to know, I'm serious about God. You say, well, that's unfair. God gave them more. Listen to me. God is just in whatever he does. God gave Sodom and Gomorrah a chance through his creation and probably through Lot and through other people, they turned it away. God said, that's enough. He gave these people more of a chance. Listen to me. He said, woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. Woe unto thee, Capernaum. You know what woe means? It's the same one that's used in Revelation. It means great grief be upon you. Jesus is saying, it's coming for you. I don't think he's happy when he's saying this. Great grief be upon you. So you're trying to scare me. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. If it scares you, it might be because you want to say, but you're not living right in here. He says condemnation is coming. He's saying the chance you had, you should have taken it. He says if they had your chance, they would have changed a long time ago. Hey, church kid, before you blow off this message or before you blow off another Sunday school lesson or another sermon from Brother William, you better take that into account. Listen to me. Brother William, we know this is true. Brother Chad, we know this is true. I know without a doubt, there would probably be more Jeffries and more Davids that have come off the streets, and they appreciate more what they get from this pulpit, from this book, from their parents, for going to a Christian school, all these different things. If they had that opportunity that you did, if they had the chances you did, guarantee you they'd be 10 times better Christian than you. I love you. I'm telling you the truth, though. Think about if they had the chances that you had. You just blow it off. Christian school, so what? They teach the Bible in your school. You don't realize in public school they don't do that? They teach them about evolution, sex education, all this nasty stuff, teaching them how to sin. It's not sex education, it's sin education. Amen. That's right. You don't have to sit through that. Some of you wish you do. Wish you that you would. God have mercy on your soul. Get right while you have the chance. Listen to me, if they would have had the chance, if people out there had the chance that you have right now, you think they would have repented long ago? I guarantee you some of them would. Wow. They're serious about this. Listen to me. But he says, when with dealing with rejection, think about the possible result, the
It can be joyous. Yeah, it's hard sometimes, but it can be joyous. If one person listens, it can change. He says, don't quit. Don't quit because of rejection, also because they're going to regret it at the judgment seat. Sean, if you give that person a chance, one day they're going to regret it. Let them blow you off now. Let them cuss you out now. It helps. I'm telling you, this helps me. When somebody blows me off, when somebody gets mad at me, that thought comes in your mind. Why do you do this? It's not worth it. Listen to me. One day, they're going to wish they had that chance. The Bible says, one day, every knee shall bow. Thanks in heaven, thanks in earth, thanks under the earth. Talking about those in heaven, those in the earth, those under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every atheist gonna bow. Buddhist gonna bow. Yeah. Muslim gonna bow. Catholic gonna bow. Not to Mary, not to the Pope, to Jesus Christ. Cause he is Lord. He is God. Every knee. Let that guy blow you off now. Let him cuss you out now. He won't one day. I'm not trying to make light of people going to hell. I don't want anybody to go to hell. But I'm just saying, when they do reject you, don't you quit. Don't you give up. Don't you let it turn your intensity down. Brother Chad, it happens. I know it's happened to me. It's happened to you. It does. When you get rejected, pretty soon you're not going to stick your face out there to get slapped anymore. You know? Instead of, hey, how you doing? Oh, man. Oh, pretty soon, you know what you're going to do? And that's what we do a lot of times. We don't want to give them the gospel. We don't want to just, hey, the gospel said, I don't want to offend you, but we don't need to be like that. I've been there before. I don't want to be there for much longer. I want to get out of that. I want to give them the gospel with boldness. Hey, the possible result is joyous. Secondly, they will regret it at the judgment. Number three, and lastly, because we shouldn't quit, we should deal with rejection, we should continue on, because number three, because we're representing Jesus. Amen. We're representing Jesus. Listen, look at verse 16. After he upbraids these different cities, that you didn't repent. If these people had the chance that you had, they would have repented, turned from their sin. Verse 16, he says, he that heareth you, heareth me. He that despises you, despises me. He that despises me, despises him that sinned. You know what he's saying to his disciples? Fellas, if they turn you down, they're not turning you down. They're turning me down. Listen, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the message that you give. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting him. They're rejecting his salvation. You're just the messenger. You ever heard that before? Don't shoot the messenger. You know, listen to the message, man. I didn't write it. I'm just giving it to you. I'm just the mailman. Okay, I'm just the mailman. Special delivery. Got a gospel package for you. All right? Don't shoot the UPS man, right, Brother Bill? That's right. Yeah. Hey. I learned a lot of stuff in Junior Boys. A lot of stuff. Man of demands, valuable virtues, vocabulary. Well, you know one of the best things I learned? He had a little picture of the UPS truck. That represents the Lord. You know, on the other side, FedEx truck, that represents the devil. I mean, that has served me well throughout my college days. You know, I write papers on that. Help me out. Really made it, you know, visible for me, Robert. Just kidding. Listen, they're not rejecting your salvation. They're rejecting his. You can't save nobody. They're rejecting his salvation. You're just the messenger. They're rejecting his sacrifice. They're rejecting his solution to the problem. I can do it another way. The movie Fireproof. I like that. You know, there's some weird things in it for evangelicals, but there's some good stuff in there. Did you know what the guys, it'll identify with young men because the guy's trying to solve it another way. I got this, Dad. And his dad's trying to tell him, Well, son, if you just receive the Lord, and you know, he can help you with all that. And he says, Dad, I need help with my marriage. I don't need stinking religion. And that's how guys think, right? That's how guys think. You know, I need help over here. I don't need all this. That's what they think. But they don't understand. If they get this, he'll help all the stuff, not just that, everything. That's what's going on. They're rejecting his solution to their problem. Listen to me. Every problem any person has in the whole world,
that's a pretty all-inclusive statement.
Better believe it. Jesus can take care of it. He's got a solution for it all, man. And they're rejecting him as Savior. They're not rejecting you. Rejecting him. Hey, and if they're rejecting his salvation, his sacrifice, his solution to the problem, him as Savior, notice something? It didn't stop him. They spit on him. Didn't stop him. They beat him. Didn't stop him. Listen, they cussed him out. Didn't stop him. They made fun of him and laughed at him. And if you're the Savior, why don't you get down? Why don't you save yourself? Didn't stop him. Bless God, if he's the one they're rejecting, if he's the one they're turning away from, and it didn't stop him, why should it stop us? We're just a messenger. Hey, let's keep running the trucks. Big brown trucks, you know, let's keep running them. Man, Brother Bill's liking this. Give me that tape. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Hey, you know, you never know. Maybe you can give some of the guys a UPS. And wow, you know, they'll get saved. All because, no, I'm just kidding. Listen, if it didn't stop him, why should it stop us? Keep your perspective. Keep your perspective. It's not pleasant. I don't like getting rejected. Oh boy, sure hope they cuss me out today. It's been a long time since I've gotten cussed out by a sinner. Man, you remember those old days, Jeff? I miss it. It's not pleasant. And by the way, this has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Verse 1, he says, go out 2 and 2. That's the reason why. Because, you know, if you're by yourself and they get all over you, you're like, oh my goodness, you said that to me.
Some of you thinking, no, you know, if I was in that state, I know the Lord is with me, and I wouldn't think like that.
You would think like that. Oh, my goodness. Why do I do this? But Jesus said, go 2 and 2. You know why he said go 2 by 2? Because you can kind of play it off each other. Man, that guy really got mad at me, didn't he? Yeah, it's all right, though. Keep going, man. And you can keep going. You can keep on going. Hey, Jesus said in Luke 6:22, he said, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and they shall separate you from the company. You ever had that happen before? They shall reproach you and cast your name out as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Listen, if they're not doing it for the Son of Man's sake, that's on you anyway, all right? If you're living like a terrible Christian, I'm getting all this persecution, people talking about me and persecuting me, and you're not, and it's not because you're associated with Jesus, that's on you. But if you're living right and they're getting mad at you because of your association, your togetherness with him, then he'll take care of it. Keep your perspective. It's not fun. It's not pleasant. Hey, but don't let it hold you back. Don't let it stop you. If that's your reasoning for not coming out tomorrow, change it. If that's your reasoning for holding back a little bit and kind of, let's give it to him. We're just a messenger. You're just a messenger. Listen, why should I continue on? How do I deal with rejection? Why continue on? Because the possible result is joy. If one person listens to you, it can totally change their life. It's worth it. It's worth it. One person. You leave one person alone, it's worth it. Do a whole lot more than that if you can, but if you can get one, that's awesome, man. Because secondly, they'll regret it one day at the judgment. Let them have their fun now. Let them make fun of you. Get the big group. Look at that guy. Religious freak. Let them laugh. One day, they're going to bow. They say, man, you were right. I was so stupid. Why didn't I take that chance that you gave me? Next time somebody does that, just think. Don't say to them if you don't want to get punched, but just say to yourself, one day you will. One day you will. One day you would beg me for that track, but it'll be too late. Number 3, because you're representing Jesus. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting him. That's what the Bible says. Jesus says, I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. It's not going to be easy, fellas. There's a great need. Harvest is plenteous. Laborers are few. And I'm going to send you out there to fill that need. He says, but it's not going to be easy. It's going to be hostile. You're going to get hated. They're not going to hear what you have to say. But don't you quit. One person can change. They'll regret it one day. And you're just representing me. They're not turning you down. They're turning me down. I can, and Jesus can handle it. Maybe we can't handle it. He can handle it. He can handle it.
That's why he stayed on that cross. Nails didn't keep Jesus on the cross. Love kept him on the cross. Listen, our love needs to be go beyond what people say to us or whatever. Just keep loving them. Just keep giving them chances. Hey, I don't want my friends. I don't want some of those guys who work on Jeff and Dave. I don't want to just get one chance. Just have a little bit of dust they have to go over. I want it to be a whole lot. I got dirty shoes on right now. So a couple hours ago, we were playing with some kids out there in Langley Park. Hey, let's do something about it. Let's do something about it. If you're having trouble dealing with rejection, Jesus gives you the answers right there. Let's go out and do something about it. Lord showed me this yesterday. I went out today for a couple hours to visit. It helped me. It helped me. Still in the trial run, you know. Don't know, but it helped me. I think it'll help you too. All right? Just want to be a blessing to you. Let's stand, bow our heads, and close our eyes. We're going to have a quick invitation. The Lord spoke to your heart, heads down, eyes closed. The Lord spoke to your heart about anything. Set out of this as Kenny begins to play. Here in a second, we're going to open up the altar. Hey, you're not coming praying to me, praying to the pastor, praying to this church. You're praying to God and say, God, help me with this. Hey, I've been there. I'm there. I'm probably there more than I am on the boldness part of it. I'm ashamed of that, but the Lord can help me. He can help you too. Let's boldly give the gospel to people. Changed us, it can change them. Jesus says, yeah, it's going to be tough sending you out sheep among wolves, but you know why I'm still doing it even though it's going to be tough? Because if one person listens to you, it'll change their life. You know why I'm still sending you out? Because if they reject it, they're going to have to face that one day on Judgment Day. You know why I'm still sending you out? Because you're representing me. You're not representing some company. You're representing the Savior. If you don't know the Savior in here today, He's giving you a chance right now. Hey, don't let this be evidence against you one day at the judgment. Don't let this be evidence against you. Cash it in right now.
Oh, you're just trying to give me all, you know, religious freak.
Nah, man. We want to give you the gospel. We want to give you what changed us. It can change anybody. We're talking about the Creator. He's giving you a chance to receive Him right now. Only reason you're standing in your pew right now is because He's keeping your body moved, keeping your body functioning. Give Him a chance. If you're unsaved in here today, come. We got plenty of people that would love to share the gospel with you. Just give Him a chance. Don't turn Him away. Don't let this be evidence against you. Don't let this be a witness against you. Exhibit A. You don't need any of that stuff.